Oh, my favorite podcast, a live mock draft. We are doing a draft right now with eight listeners. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, Scott White, Chris Towers. Chris Towers, welcome back. Hey.
Hey. Hello.
How was your trip?
It was great. Cool. I got like 2 weeks off. I'm refreshed. Took 2 weeks off right in the middle of fantasy baseball draft prep season, which is always a smart decision.
And the NBA trade deadline.
Now I'm back.
You didn't miss anything. Don't worry about it. We're happy to have you back. We look forward to hearing about your trip intermittently throughout the draft. So I've set up a 12-team head-to-head categories league with the standard 5x5 categories. Batting average, runs, home runs, steals, and RBIs, and then ERA, whip, saves, strikeouts, and wins for pitchers. And we are starting right now with the first round.
Right now?
Are we?
Why not?
Well, when I look in my draft room, the top player available according to my rankings is Joe Panic.
Well, you need to reset your draft room, my friend, because Mike Trout and Jose Altuve were just taken, and now I'm on the clock, and I'm taking Mookie Betts. So you, sir, that's on you, Heath Cummings. Scott White is on the clock with the fourth pick. Let me just go through who's drafting. We have Jeff Johnson, Brandon Ott picking first and second. They went with Trout and Altuve. Adam Azer picking third. He went with Betts. We, by the way, have a 35-second clock, so we can get through as many picks as possible. Scott White takes Nolan Arenado. Here's Matt Morin with the fifth pick. Heath will have the sixth pick. Heath, everything cool in the draft room for you?
It looks good now.
All right. With the seventh pick, Julian Alexander. Eric Huebner has the eighth pick.
Yeah! Thank you, Matthew Morin.
Oh, he took Clayton Kershaw at fifth, so now Heath with that. I thought you were happy about Eric Huebner being in the league. You were happy about getting Chris Bryant, Heath.
Yes.
Okay.
I was happy about getting Chris
Bryant.
Very
dismissive, no. Come on.
Eric Huebner?
Yeah.
Why would I be happy about him?
Welcome to the group, Eric.
Yeah. Eric's awesome. Well, after
I don't
Eric,
need Eric's hubris.
Eli Rosen has the ninth pick, Adam Cross 10th, and we have Chris Towers, whoever that is, 11th, and CJ is 12th. We just had Manny Machado go 7th overall a little earlier, before Donaldson, before Goldschmidt, who went 8th overall.
8 is the sweet spot for Paul Goldschmidt this year, it seems. It doesn't matter what the order of everyone else is.
Yep.
Josh Donaldson somehow hasn't been drafted yet, but Paul Goldschmidt still goes number 8.
I was actually considering Goldschmidt alongside Arenado with fourth choice. So if Paul Goldschmidt lasts to me at pick 8, that I would do a little happy dance because that seems like incredible value.
It's a categories league too, so you got to get those steals, the batting average. All right, Chris, you're on the clock with the 11th pick as we just had Goldschmidt, Josh Donaldson and Rizzo off the board, so now you're in the Harper range or the pitcher range or the Votto range. What are you going to do?
There's only one option here. It's got to be Bryce Harper. He's the last guy in that tier for me. Heath is the only one who disagrees, so I'm going to go with Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper is who I would take there. I think there's a good debate you can have over Bryce Harper versus Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah, I
especially in a categories league.
I just brought that up on Outfielders Part 2.
Did we talk about that?
Part one, yeah.
Was that a lot of angry tweets yesterday about you not getting to the David Wright?
Charlie Blackmon goes 12th, by the way. So now we're into round two. So it is the very standard round one with Kershaw, the only pitcher off the board. He went 5th overall. Charlie Blackmon, the end of round one with the 12th pick, and Corey Seager. Those could have easily been flip flopped. So CJ goes with Blackmon and Seager, and now Chris, you're back on the clock. Are you thinking about a pitcher here?
No.
The only option would be Scherzer. That's actually who I have 12, but that's just not my style. So I'm going to go with my next highest ranked player, which is Joey Votto.
That's what I expected.
Okay,
this is batting average, not
this.
OBP,
yeah, this
right?
First two picks for me, Bryce Harper and Joey Votto, would be exceptional in an on-base percentage league, although.
Yeah,
Joey Votto did hit 320 last
year.
Yeah,
it's for average.
Speaking of Scherzer, you still have him 12th. You probably haven't updated your rankings since you went on vacation 3 weeks ago. I have dropped Scherzer because of the injury concerns below Mad Bum and Sale.
Okay.
How long would he have to be on the shelf before you do that?
I mean, we don't expect him. The last report was that he might not be ready for opening day, right?
It's possible.
Well, the last report is he's throwing his fastball completely differently. He's gone to a three-finger grip instead of a two-finger grip because the knuckles bothering him on his normal grip, which seems crazy to me because he was pitching with this injury in August. He had 4 months to get better. I don't really understand why it's not better and he's having to change things, but I'm starting to get concerned.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, I probably do need to drop him. I don't know if I'll drop him below.
I haven't dropped him below Bumgarner yet. I don't feel like he's the ultra safe pitcher choice that used to make him second for me.
All right, listen, we got some interesting picks coming off the board here. I also want to tell people right now, we're doing a Reddit Ask Me Anything at AMA on Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern. So go to Reddit, go to the Fantasy Baseball site on Reddit, and you can ask us questions, the AMA, 11 a.m. Eastern. You can ask us questions now or wait until 11 a.m. But yeah, this is an interesting round right now because Eli Rosen, who had the 16th overall pick, he in the second round, he does rank Madison Bumgarner over Max Scherzer. So I'll tell you the picks that we've had. We've had six so far this round, and Heath is on the clock. Corey Seager, Joey Votto, Trey Turner, Madison Bumgarner, AJ Pollock, the earliest I've seen AJ Pollock go, Miguel Cabrera, and then Heath took Carlos Correa. Let's talk about AJ Pollock, guys. I mean, if he's right and he's as good as he was 2 years ago, this is a great pick. 17th overall, but is it a little early for you to take AJ Pollock?
What I think this is, him going 17th and Trey Turner going 15th. It's people heeding the advice to target stolen bases early, which is disappointing to me because I don't think I'm going to get stolen bases with my second pick after taking Nolan Arenado with my first. It's kind of making me wish I took Goldschmidt, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got really? No stolen bases, but I don't like Pollock at 17, but in a world where Trey Turner is going 15, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Scott, you're on the clock. So you had Arenado in the first round, and the last pick was Max Scherzer, by the way, after he took Correa. What are you going to do, Scott?
I got to take Encarnacion here.
Oh, damn you.
Yeah. If I can get him. Okay.
All right. So now I am on the clock. And Scott
That's
is on
one auto pick for Scott White, by the way.
No, I dragged him to my queue with 1 second left, so it took him.
It was still an auto pick, though. You're on auto right now. The 35-second clock is no good.
I am not a rapid Scott picker. White. I'm a guy who crosses names off Scott a spreadsheet while the draft's quickly. Going on. That's true.
He has
deliberate is the word I would use.
Two sheets of paper in front of him while he picks from his laptop with a highlighter. And many names crossed out.
Yes.
Okay, I selected Daniel Murphy, 22nd overall. One of the nice things about having Mookie Betts in the first round, which I had, is you don't have to worry about steals. They don't have to like reach for steals. You're going to get some from Mookie Betts. So we'll take Daniel Murphy there. Next pick is Corey Kluber. I am going to take a starting pitcher with my next pick, which will be four picks from now. Scott, you have the pick after me. So you and I have the third and fourth pick of round three. We both have two hitters. We're both going to be able to get an ace. Are you going to take a starting pitcher with your next pick?
Probably not.
Francisco Lindor, 24th overall. Wow. What do you guys think?
That's a little early, but I would not, like, it's well within the range of possibilities that Francisco Lindor has the type of year this year that makes him a borderline second round pick next year.
Okay, yeah, so.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't love him in this format, actually, because he's not enough of a standout in any one category. I feel like week to week he's going to be frustrating knowing what to expect from him.
Noah Syndergaard off the board with the first pick of round three. So. Jeff Johnson has Mike Trout, Francisco Lindor, and Noah Syndergaard. Chris Sale is still on the board. I am on deck. He will be my pick if he is not taken here. The best hitters available are guys like Brian Dozier, George Springer, Cano. You've got the Braun, Nelson Cruz, Giancarlo Stanton group. You've got Freddie Freeman. I don't think anybody wants to take him there. You got Matt Carpenter.
I'm not planning on taking any of these hitters, Adam.
Darling Marte. George Springer was the second pick here. I wonder if Great Scott's going to go Marte to get those steals. I'm going to go Chris Sale and get my ace. And Scott White, you are on the clock with your third pick.
Yeah, I think Marte is exactly the direction I'm going to go. I already have two big power hitters in Nolan Arenado and Edwin Encarnacion. I feel like stolen bases and batting average, by the way, are two categories that need to be secured early. So I think Marte is an appropriate pick for me here.
All right. Hey, listen, next week is Bold Predictions Week. I want you all to email us with bold predictions. You can do it starting on the weekend, okay? Don't do it yet, but email us fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Just write bold prediction in the subject line. I will read one to start the show every day of the week next week, a bold prediction. So that's Bold Predictions Week. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. Also, if you want other podcasts, we have a lot of great podcasts right now. We have College Basketball Podcast, NBA Podcast, Fantasy Football twice a week, Fantasy Baseball. We got some great stuff. CBSSports.com/podcast. I especially recommend Ion College Basketball right now. Matt Norlander, Gary Parrish, they are killing it. So Scott took Starling Marte. Matthew Morin took John Lester. And Heath, you don't have a pitcher, right? You just took Brian Dozier to give you Dozier, Chris Bryant, and Carlos Correa. Mr. Infield, Heath Cummings.
Maybe Mr. Infield. I've got the flexibility with Bryant that I can move him to the outfield a little later in the draft if I need to. I'm not going to prioritize starting pitcher at all in this particular draft.
Oh, right. I should note that we have seven pitcher spots, not right. Starters or relievers. So people, all right, I'm going to just tell the league right now, FYI, 20 inning minimum per week.
Whoa. Wait, I would have taken Jake Arrieta if that was the case.
How more or what?
I just checked the rules. There is no inning. I have the rules page up. There is no innings limit on the rules page.
Okay, no innings limit.
Wow.
So that's what you're going to do? You're going to go all RPs?
Yes.
All right, because Heath is complaining no innings limit.
Even though we're not playing the league out.
Even though, yeah, exactly. okay, we got some picks coming off the board. Let's react. We got some controversial ones. After Heath took Dozier, Buster Posey to Julian. We got Eric taking Jonathan Villar, Eli taking Ryan Braun, and then Jake Arrieta going. I don't know. Posey and VR back-to-back in the middle of the third round, guys. What did you think?
Posey seems odd, especially since he's kind of like Lindor at catcher. He's not a big standout in either of home runs or obviously not stolen bases. VR, I mean, I don't like him in round three normally, but in this format specifically, when you have to make all your hitter spots count, you need, I feel like, a big base stealer somewhere. Particularly one who could also provide a little bit of power. And, if Starling Marte wasn't still there with my fourth pick, I might have taken VR myself because my need for steals, I think, was so pressing.
Okay.
So this is my favorite category. This format specifically is my favorite for him.
Chris took Freddie Freeman? What? I thought you didn't like Freddie Freeman in the third round.
The short clock is really screwing with me right there.
You took a second first baseman is not worth a third round pick.
Yeah.
Oh wow! That's a terrible pick.
I'm struggling coming back from vacation. I'm a little rusty.
Why didn't you take Giancarlo?
Don't worry, I've got another pick coming up. Can you please give the man some room?
All right. So,
unfortunately, this isn't live.
It would be better if it was live, I think.
Well, then you would have just spoiled his next pick.
All right, Shelby, the guy who has the CJ actually. His team has his 12th pick. Chris just took Giancarlo Stanton with the second pick of round four. But he went, the guy with the 12th pick went with Verlander and Price back to back. So that gives him, Corey Seager, Charlie Blackmon, David Price, and Justin Verlander. We also have one team, Matthew Morin, who has three pitchers. He has John Lester, Clayton Kershaw, and Max Scherzer. He does not have a hitter yet. And Matthew had the fifth overall pick. So he went Kershaw, Scherzer, Lester. And we'll see how his team works out. We have Adam on the clock right now with the third pick of round four. And we are waiting. So, okay, anyway, the last few picks before the Verlander pick, Chris took Freddie Freeman, in case you haven't heard. Verlander, David Price, the same owner. And
well,
then
let me,
Giancarlo Stanton.
I would like to explain my thought process there a little bit. I was looking at a hitter. The options were, my next top three hitters were Nelson Cruz, Freddie Freeman, and Giancarlo Stanton. I figured I wanted Stanton. I like the power production that I'm going to get from him. And I figured if I go with him and Cruz, there's a chance that that hurts my batting average a little too much. Whereas I do think Freddie Freeman's going to be a good batting average hitter, if not the 319 guy he was last year. So it was more about where I was with my team there.
Okay. Matt Carpenter and now Xander Bogaerts. So now I had Bogaerts in my queue. I didn't expect him to get to me, but we're done with that group of shortstops, the Lindor, VR, Bogaerts group. So now the next shortstop, it could be Segura, could be Trevor Story. That position's starting to thin out a little bit. Rougned Odor goes off the board. I'm not sure if we've seen Rougned Odor in the fourth round.
Seems early.
Johnny Cueto off the board. I don't really see a reason to doubt Johnny Cueto. Do you guys? He's an ace, right?
Yeah.
Not as much strikeout potential as most, but yeah, I mean, he's clearly was the best pitcher left when he was taken here.
All right, Heat's on the clock with three infielders. And what? Jonathan Lucroy? In round four?
You don't like that pick?
No.
Why not?
A catcher in round four that's not Posey? Like, I don't know.
I think Jonathan Lucroy basically is Posey.
Small lineups, you got to make every spot count, right? That may put a premium on the higher-end catchers.
What do you think the difference between Posey and LaCroix this year is?
It might not be that big. I just...
I don't know that it's anything at all.
It's LaCroix, just Posey's been so good. I don't know. There are some really good hitters left. I can't see myself taking a catcher. But okay, Steven Strasburg is the next pick. Strasburg goes before Darvish, before DeGrom, before Carrasco, before Archer. How do you guys feel about Strasburg there? Too early?
No, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a gap between Cueto, but maybe he's feeling the pressure to take a pitcher. There's one hitter here with my pick right now who I can't believe is still there.
No, don't take. Oh, you took Cano. Okay, yeah. I'm going to take Nelson Cruz because I also can't believe that Nelson Cruz is there.
Actually, yeah, that Strasburg pick. That's four starting pitchers.
Is that the owner? Four
yeah.
starting.
Yeah, he
pitchers?
Has four starting pitchers.
Yes. So I didn't dislike Strasburg there. The context changes that a little.
It's just
bit.
A completely different approach.
He
will win wins and strikeouts every week, I would say.
Strikeouts for sure.
Strikeouts, there's a good chance. But he's like ERA and WHIP, them being rate stats over such a small sample over and over again, it's going to be hard to assure yourself consistent wins with those. I like counting stats for that better.
I understand, but generally when you're having that discussion, you're not talking about a guy possibly having four aces. Like they aren't.
The aces have bad starts too.
Right. Not near as many as everybody else. That's
Strasburg
the reason
had a lot of bad starts last year.
There's no comparison to the number of bad starts they have to the average starting pitcher. You completely kind of erased that doubt about the week to week problems with ERA and WHIP with this approach. I'm not saying I like it.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that starting pitchers only contribute in four categories while hitters can contribute five, and two of those four are ratio stats while only one of the five hitter categories is a ratio stat. I don't like it in this format.
I think that argument makes a lot of sense when you're talking about the general hitter versus pitcher discussion.
Okay.
The way you get past that is to go to the extremes.
All right. So listen, we're done with round four. The last few picks have been after Scott took Cano, I took Nelson Cruz, then Trevor Story, then D. Gordon to finish off round four. So, like, is D. Gordon with the 48th overall pick too early in a head-to-head categories league?
Yes. No, I mean, I'm the high guy on Gordon, and I have him 46. I do think we're going to get a big bounce back, not to 2015 levels, but stolen bases are so valuable. He's going to be one of the best in the league at that.
Right. So this is what's tough, right? Because now JD Martinez just went. I'm on the clock. I might have to, reset my time because I want to explain this. I want to talk about what's happening right now. I'm on the clock. I have Mookie Betts, Nelson Cruz, Daniel Murphy, and Chris Sale. Overall, very happy with the start. Yu Darvish could be my pick. But I'm also thinking we're almost out of steals, guys. So Gene Segura could be my pick. I sort of regret the Cruz pick because I could get steals at outfield maybe, but I'm not going to take a third outfielder now. But I can't put that much value on steals. Like, I'm not going to take Segura over Yu Darvish. I'm just not going to take an inferior player just to fill out the category. So that's kind of, that's what's a little bit, I took Darvish, by the way, Scott's on the clock. That's what's a little bit tough about this format. Sometimes you might feel like you need to pass up on a better player to fill a category. You guys kind of feel what I'm saying here? Like, how
I feel what you're saying, and I agree. It's easy for me because I don't feel like Gene Segura is an inferior player, so I'm happy to take him here with my fifth pick, and now I have two base stealers who should both help with batting average, him and Marte. And that's kind of one reason why I didn't like the D. Gordon pick, is like, Gene Segura is still out there, and he can do more than just give steals.
Maybe.
Maybe. He did certainly did last year. He won't give as many steals as Gordon, but like, I don't love, in this format, I don't love hitters who are just kind of good across the board, and I don't love hitters who just do one thing alone. So, I don't.
I'm going to go ahead and take Ian Desmond here with this pick, and I like Ian Desmond here. I almost did what you were talking about, Adam, and we'll find out if it burns me or not.
You almost took a player.
Totally because of what I needed.
And you didn't do that with Desmond?
No.
Okay.
No, Desmond's my top player left available, and I'd rather have him than anybody else left.
All right, so Yu Darvish, Gene Segura, Chris Davis to Matthew Morin. Matthew Morin with four starting pitchers, and his first hitter is Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles.
Jason Dongs.
Yeah, Ian Desmond. Jacob DeGrom goes off the board. How confident are you that DeGrom bounces back this year, guys?
Not that confident just because of the injury concerns. I think if he's healthy, I don't see any reason to think he wouldn't be good. But there's definitely no guarantee. I think you have to be a little concerned about that.
Like, bounces back in that he strikes more guys out or just stays healthy?
Stays healthy.
Because he was, if he's just what he was last year for 200 innings,
yeah,
that's great.
It is, yeah, but he's capable of being better than that. You know, he's capable of being like top three Cy Young good, I think, DeGrom. I hope he can get back to that. He had the ulnar nerve removed from his elbow. By the way, I read Scott White's article on Matt Harvey and thoracic outlet syndrome. Very interesting read. Gave me a lot more faith in Matt Harvey. Somebody you definitely want to target around round 9 or 10 in a 12-team league. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't remember. We did a draft yesterday, a points league, and I took him as my third starting pitcher, probably about that point. I don't remember the exact round. But yes, I've gone from being, I really don't want to take Matt Harvey, but I will if he falls to me, to, yeah, I'm perfectly fine taking him as like a third starting pitcher with number one upside.
All right, we got some pretty normal, solid, good picks here in this round. After Gene Segura, Chris Davis, Ian Desmond, Jacob DeGrom, Yoenis Cespedes, Chris Archer, and then these next two, I'm not sure. What do you think? Kyle Seager and Adrian Beltre, 58th and 59th overall, and it was Chris who took Beltre. This is what? I didn't know that. You Freeman, Beltre, just Chris Towers? I don't know. A little weird.
He's always been a Beltre guy.
Oh, you're a Beltre guy? Okay. I just know he's old.
He's the downer on Beltre.
Yeah.
All right, Trumbo off the board. Well, is this the right time for Seager and Beltre? We still have, at third base, we still have Rendon. We still have... Bregman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Heath does not think it's the right time. Scott and I think it's the right time for both Hamilton, or both Beltre and Seager.
Okay. Chris with the hat tip of who he's going to take with his next pick.
Maybe. Maybe a little bit.
You're so lucky this isn't live.
Might have been a little bit of a Freudian slip there. We'll see what our good friend CJ does.
He took Mark Trumbo and Jose Abreu. Chris, you are on the clock. Go ahead.
And I will be making my specialist pick. I think I have enough batting average to survive. So, Billy Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
See,
Cincinnati Reds leadoff hitter.
And I almost took Hamilton over Desmond, not because I think he should be taken in the fifth round, but just because my offense, my plan is to have one of the best offenses in the league.
Obviously. Mine too.
So you guys are both going to go with the all RP strategy here, because like neither of you has a starting pitcher yet.
I'm not going to tip my hat as to what I'm going to do.
Who cares? It's a mock draft. You have, for the listener's sake, you have to. It's not going to affect my drafting at all, I promise.
I may draft a starting pitcher or two. I mean, we'll just see how it goes. But yeah, I'm definitely going after the hitting categories.
Chris, you have three outfielders in your first six picks. Your team is Votto, Beltre, Freeman, yep. Harper, Stanton, and Billy Hamilton. So you filled up your three starting outfield spots. By the way, it's a three outfielder league. You're all right with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It obviously, I'm limited in where I can go from here with my utility and my outfield spots already filled up. On the other hand, I've got some really good hitters. So it's hard for me to be too concerned about that. Second base and shortstop, catcher are the three positions I have left to fill in my offense. I don't think that's a bad place to be.
All right. Heath is on the clock here, and we've got, after Billy Hamilton, Gregory Polanco went, Gary Sanchez went, Carlos Carrasco, Andrew McCutchen, Polanco before McCutchen, and now here is Heath. I'd also like to say I don't have a first baseman, and we talk about this a lot. First base is a little bit shallow. Hanley Ramirez, Carlos Santana, Eric Hosmer, Pujols, Gonzalez, like these first basemen, they're not terrible. I just don't want them now, but I do have Daniel Murphy, so there's a good chance I move him to first and draft a second baseman in the Kinsler, Kipnis, Pedroia, LeMahieu group. Alright. So the guy, Matthew Morin, who has four starting pitchers and Chris Davis, is on the clock now. Heath just took Carlos Gonzalez. Very Rockies heavy there, Heath.
That generally works out pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a bad thing. And
they
Scott,
didn't move Parks, right?
A lot of power heavy.
Oh, damn it. Matthew Morin took the guy in my queue, Alex Bregman. Scott, you're on the clock. Let's read Scott's team. Scott has Encarnacion, Cano, Arenado, Segura, and Marte. Pretty good so far, but no pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the stat balance. I think I'm in good shape there, so I don't need to pursue a hitter category right now. My infield's full already. I will take my pitcher, who isn't quite an ace, but he's right on the borderline and very consistent. Cole Hamels will lead my staff in this league.
All right, I'm on the clock with Daniel Murphy, Nelson Cruz, Mookie Betts, Chris Sale, and Yu Darvish. And the fact that I have Sale and Darvish means I'm probably going to sit pitcher out for a little bit now. But I don't really love the hitters that are on the board right now. So maybe Rendon. Okay, we're struggling here. We're going to suspend. We're going to give me 35. It's hard to host a podcast.
You know, just make a pick.
Well, this is difficult.
Literally just said it's hard to do my job.
It is a difficult point. It's hard to do my job and draft at the same time.
It's a difficult point in the draft if you need hitting, because I feel like the real standout hitters who excel in multiple categories are pretty much gone at this point.
Oh, God, this is terrible. I don't like anyone. All right, I'm going to take Jose Bautista.
Right pick.
Is it? But now I have three outfielders. I didn't want to fill three outfielders with my first six picks.
Ah. Yeah.
There are going to be some very good outfield bargains in every draft, and I think at some point you just have to live with it.
I guess.
Don't cry over spilled draft picks, Adam.
Problem is, I have no steals. Next pick was Carlos Martinez. I only have one steals guy, and it's Mookie Betts. So
that's one more than I have.
Yeah, and the only real middle round steals guys in the draft pool this year are Eduardo Nunez, who comes with a lot of risk, and I think Jose Peraza, now that he has a full time job, is creeping up to that point. It's fortunate they're both eligible at shortstop, a position where it's nice to fill a category like that. So
well, what about DJ LeMahieu? Do you expect him to steal more bases?
15-ish.
Ugh, man.
Yeah, I've got a ton of 10 to 15 stolen base guys on my team. In fact, a roster full of them.
But well, that's pretty good.
Nobody that's going to steal more than that.
Well, I have one guy who's going to steal like double digit steals. So that I've got a big problem with steals, but
we'll fix it right now.
Next pick is we have Christian Yelich and Anthony Rendon with the last pick of round five, first pick or last pick of round six, first pick of round seven. We have Kyle Schwarber, and then like there's no steals guy that I want.
Yeah, there's
right
not
now.
A guy to fix it with right now. There may be some that could threaten to have 20 steals. In particular, there's a, well, I don't want to give you the name, but there's an outfielder who should go.
I'm not taking another outfielder. That would fill my utility spot.
I gotcha.
So I'm going to – crap, I ran out of time. We are going to suspend the draft and back out the last pick and give me 35 new seconds here. This is awful. All right, so let's just...
Let's Guys, just... you're going to have to pick fast. I'm setting the clock at 35 seconds.
I'm just going to take Kyle Hendricks.
Ugh.
No, I shouldn't have taken him. That was a terrible pick. I should have taken a closer.
Like, you just settled.
I should have taken a closer. Yeah, I'm having trouble focusing right now. all right, Scott, you're on the clock, and you have one pitcher. You have five hitters, good balance of power and speed and such.
I was going to take Hendricks if you didn't. I'm the only one who likes Porcello, but I've yet to see him fall past round seven. So as my second starting pitcher, I at least think I can count on him for wins and whip.
All right. Heath, you're on deck.
Yeah.
And Heath, you still don't have a starting pitcher. You have Lucroy, Dozier, Chris Bryant, Correa, Ian Desmond, and Carlos Gonzalez. And on the clock right now, we have Matthew, who has Chris Davis, Alex Bregman, and four aces, hopefully.
Yep.
So let's see what he does. I wanted to read some emails while we were doing this.
That seems a little ambitious with as much trouble as you're having drafting.
That's a good point. I probably won't do it then. Aroldis Chapman. Yeah, I should have taken a damn closer. Chapman is the next pick, and he takes Kenley Jansen. Damn it, I should have taken a closer. What was I thinking?
There is going to be a closer run now.
Yeah,
for
we're
sure.
In the middle of round seven. Closers are starting to come off the board. Chris, you are four picks away. Julian Alexander is on the clock. Julian has Posey, Miguel Cabrera, Machado, McCutcheon, Cueto, and DeGrom. Let's see what he does.
This is the format, I think, to target elite closers, definitely more so than head-to-head points. And even Roto, I think, just because, again, that every week you're dealing with a very small sample size. A closer could pitch three or four innings within a week and come very close to matching a one-start pitcher's total there. And the elite ones, you know, are going to have a microscopic ERA and WHIP.
So I think if you go with seven elite relievers, they won't all be closers, but if you can get seven elite relievers, you're not giving up strikeouts every week. You're going to win strikeouts every once in a while.
Every once in a while, yeah. I would
it's
agree.
Just you're not guaranteed to hit that innings limit. That's going to be...
There's no innings limit.
Oh, that's right.
You canceled the innings limit. But, I mean, you're expecting to lose strikeout more weeks than not. You're
right.
Certainly expecting to lose wins every week. I just, like, it's coming close to punting on two categories, and I don't even like punting on one. So I wouldn't be the approach for me, but... Just as drafting a single isolated elite closer, this would be the format where I'd be most likely to do it.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm so mad at myself. Don't do a podcast while you draft.
I was hoping to get two of the elite closers at that turn.
But you got Britton.
Yeah, I got Zach Britton with my most recent pick. We'll see what happens next.
All right, so recapping some of the picks since he took Kenley Jansen, Danny Salazar, Aledmys Diaz, Jason Kipnis in round seven, Jose Quintana, Zach Britton, and Evan Longoria. Anything really jump out? Like, I'm not sure I like, there are four picks there I'm not sure that I like. Diaz, Kipnis, I guess Quintana makes sense, and Longoria.
I like Diaz just fine there.
Yeah?
Yeah, round seven's usually where I target him when I need a shortstop still, so that makes sense. This isn't my favorite format for him, but it's the right place, I think. You need a shortstop. Who was the other one you didn't like?
Longoria.
Yeah, I mean, he was the best third baseman available, so he's not an exciting pick ever, but I think based on the breakdown, how third basemen have gone off the board in this draft, it's not a bad pick.
Is Todd Frazier not there? I'd rather have Frazier.
I think Frazier's gone.
No, I auto-picked him three times.
Adam picked him twice, but he's back.
He got auto-picked Frazier. You're right. Frazier is better. But he does have that oblique thing. I can understand. That wouldn't be enough to scare me away, but I can understand how someone would be.
Chris took Danny Duffy instead of a closer there, and then Mark Melancon went, and Wade Davis went, and Rich Hill went, and Heath is on deck. Why didn't you take a second closer there, Chris?
There are other closers that I think I can get in the coming rounds who I think are just as good as that crop of Davis, Melancon.
Okay.
That's my thought process. I think, you know, I'm not going to go all seven relief pitchers. I want to get a couple of starters that I feel okay about, and I think Danny Duffy was the best mixture of upside and safety there.
All right.
Yeah, I was planning on getting Wade Davis. The only reason that I took
Jansen?
There we go.
It's because he's better.
No, I took Jansen because I thought Davis would come back to me. There may be a 30 steal guy that you may be overlooking.
Lorenzo Cain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did have 28 a couple years in a row.
That's the problem with filling up outfield too early, you know?
I think it's really optimistic to say Lorenzo Cain's going to be a 30 steal guy. 20 is the most I'd hope for from him. Maybe 20, maybe 25.
25 seems fair. I mean, he was a 25 pace last year. I said maybe a 30 steal guy. That would not be my expectation.
So Kimbrel just went right before my pick, which makes things a little easier. He was the last that I think closer you could get away with calling elite. So I'll take David Dahl, who was the outfielder I was mentioning earlier when you said you didn't want to draft another outfielder, Adam. He's a guy who I think could threaten 20 steals and also 20 homers with a good batting average at Coors Field. Just needs to make sure he has a job first.
Now, I'd like to say something here. We're almost done with round eight. My last pick was Todd Frazier, who I had that crazy auto pick thing with him a couple rounds ago. But yes, I finally get Todd Frazier. Because you have the seven pitcher spots, and because you have some and because I didn't establish an innings minimum, which I should have, you have teams like Heath and Chris who have been mostly taking hitters. I do feel like the pitcher values are going to be better in this draft than what you might experience in your own drafts, you at home. So just keep that in mind. The closers are going off the board heavy right now. Zach Greinke just went with a 95th pick.
That's a great value.
Yeah. 11th pick of round eight. I'm going to say something, guys. I was going to save it for tomorrow. I think I'm more confident in Dallas Keuchel bouncing back than I am Zach Greinke.
It's funny that you say that, because I passed up Greinke here kind of for the same reason. I feel like I understand what went wrong for Keuchel better. He had some health issues.
He said he had an arm issue in spring training. He pitched hurt the entire year. He said he tried to push through it, and he ended up hurting his team. I can't imagine that I think it was tendonitis, shoulder tendonitis, whatever it was, did not lead to a bad season from Dallas Keuchel.
Hey, Adam, you're on the clock.
I know.
To play devil's advocate a little bit, I'm not 100% sure. I hear he pitched with an elbow injury or a shoulder injury all year long, so he's going to be better this season. I'm not sure the logic on there fully adds up.
I understand.
Assuming he's healthy, but having pitched an entire season with a shoulder injury is not the kind of thing that makes me assume health.
I'm not assuming health. I'm assuming the injury is what messed him up. And I don't know, why wouldn't he be healthy? He got shut down and he rested and he had the off season and he's healthy.
I guess he's thinking if there needs to be some kind of surgical intervention or whatever. And I get that. I'm thinking about taking Keuchel here. And, in fact, I think I will.
I took Cody Allen, by the way.
I took him partly because the first pick, three picks before this one in round nine, was Matt Harvey, who usually goes after Keuchel. And you know, we were just talking about my renewed confidence in Harvey. I think this is maybe the best format to take a gamble on him. But somebody beat me to it, so I'll take Keuchel, who's ahead in my rankings anyway.
Okay. Miguel Sano was the next pick. Also, Hanley Ramirez went this round. Hanley Ramirez was the second pick of the round, so it went Garrett Cole, Matt Harvey at the end of round eight, beginning of round nine, Hanley, Cody Allen to me, Dallas Keuchel to Scott, Miguel Sano, Edwin Diaz to Heath. So Heath
Hanley
is going,
Ramirez,
how many relievers do you have now, Heath?
Just two.
Okay, and those are your only pitchers? Yeah.
Yep.
You took Lorenzo Cain?
Yeah. We had a whole talk about how many bases he was going
to steal. Well, look who wasn't listening this time.
I knew you talked about him. I didn't know you took him. Wow, you took Lorenzo Cain in round eight. Interesting. Only in this type of format, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was that early.
I'd
guess Lorenzo Cain's ADP is maybe even earlier than that.
There are 10 outfielders who aren't drafted, who I rank ahead of Cain. So there's that.
Heath gave me Heath gave me a look when he took Edwin Diaz with his most recent pick. I understand why. I'm the Edwin Diaz guy. And last time around, I said that there were still a couple of guys that I think can be elite closers.
Oh, there's a lot of guys.
I'm gonna pick another one, a guy who I think can be just as good as Edwin Diaz. I think he just had a little bit of bad luck last season. I'm going to go with Ken Giles. I'll take the, was it 15 strikeouts per nine that he had last season? I think he can be, him and Diaz are the two relievers I think I feel best about making the jump into that.
I feel like I need to qualify something I said earlier when Kimbrel was the last two closers who you could call elite, like already elite. I do think there are 14 closers with elite potential, 14 closers with top five potential, but a lot of them haven't been there yet.
Man, the closers are... this is a really early situation where we just finished round nine, and how many closers have been drafted? Like, I feel like half the closers are drafted.
More than half of the good ones.
This is the right format for that, though.
Well, after he took Edwin Diaz, we had Familia, then we had James Paxton, then we had Senwan Oh, who I probably should have taken over Cody Allen. Then we had Jackie Bradley, Ken Giles, Roberto Ozuna to end round nine, and then Ian Kinsler was taken, and Chris is back on the clock. His pitchers are Danny Duffy, Zach Britton, and Ken Giles. Chris has Votto, Beltre, Stanton, Harper, Billy Hamilton, and Freddie Freeman. And now we wait for his next pick. Man.
There are a couple of relievers left who I think meet that description.
Yeah, I had Giles, Diaz, and O. I wanted to get one of them with my last pick. I ended up getting Giles, O, and Diaz both went before.
I'll just say who they are. They're Alex Colomé and Kelvin Herrera.
Yeah, Herrera won't make it past me if he doesn't get taken in the next three picks. Because I was hoping to get two of that tier that you said, Chris, with Herrera thrown in.
So I will be crossing my fingers Alex Colomé makes it to my pick.
He will.
I think he will too. He tends to slip beyond those others for reasons I don't completely understand.
Well, he's only done it once. He wasn't he wasn't the big prospect that Ken Giles was. He doesn't have like the ridiculous slider like Edwin Diaz did. He never got hyped the way some of those other guys did.
And I think the computer models would disagree, but I don't expect Tampa Bay to win very many games this year.
I
know you don't really.
Yeah, we see closers on mediocre teams put up big save numbers pretty regularly.
Especially one that's built around pitching. It's a mediocre team that's built around pitching, so when they win, it'll often be low scoring.
Right. I'm not gonna draft Greg Holland or Adam Ottavino.
No, but that would be enough for me to put him at the bottom of that tier.
Yeah.
All the other closers in that tier are on better teams.
Okay, so we've got Tanner Roark. Let's recap some picks. Beginning of round 10, Ian Kinsler. Chris took Evan Gattis. Masahiro Tanaka. Justin Upton. Tanner Roark. Steven Piscotty. Heath took Kelvin Herrera. Troy Tulowitzki. Scott took Alex Colomé. I am going to take Wilson Contreras and get... Yeah, I'm going to get my catcher. Now, look, I'm going to take him in the 11th round. It's going to feel a little bit early, but I need to do it. I hope he's
still... that's not early at all.
That's fine.
No.
Great value.
Not Contreras. I'm going to take... Would you guys take Eduardo Nunez or Jose Peraza to fill out shortstop and get some steals?
Selfishly, I will say you should take Nunez.
I don't think you should take either of them yet.
I think it's a little early.
Yeah, but I can't risk it.
I rank Nunez higher, but
there's still other guys you can get,
but not at those positions. And I'm almost out of...
At what position?
I only can fill shortstop and utility right now.
So utility is every position.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know that I want to use utility on a steel specialist when there's going to be some great hitters that I could potentially take that play other positions. And I'm sitting there taking a steal. Like, I'm not going to take Jerrod Dyson as my utility. I suppose I could, but I don't...
Seems like just a mental block.
All right.
That you have a predefined role. Like, I'm probably going to take a steals guy for my utility. Maybe that's... I'm not saying you have to, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Not my favorite thing to do. Adam Jones, Justin Turner, Dellin Betances, And we're pretty much kind of out of closers. So I feel like I have to take a closer, too. Some good starting
non-closers are going now. Did Betances go before Andrew Miller, or is Miller gone?
I don't believe Miller's gone.
That's really weird.
All right, I took Francisco Rodriguez. I'll take a shortstop with my next pick. And hopefully it'll be Peraza, but I doubt it. Or Nunez. All right, so let's see where we're at. We're in the 11th round. Anything that you want to tell the listeners that you've noticed so far that we can help them out with?
It's in terms of like overall trends.
Why don't you make your pick, Scott, and then you can discuss. I'm making
Salvador Perez my pick because I want some home runs from my catcher, and Chris already took Evan Gattis last round, which I just noticed. So, yeah, Salvador Perez. I mean, other than relievers going in even a tighter cluster than usual, that's probably the biggest overall trend. I gotta say, the weirdest thing I've seen is the Betances thing. I was just saying Betances going ahead of Andrew Miller, who should get more saves. I mean, neither are closers, but Miller's role seems to be more flexible, and he works the ninth inning sometimes, and I think his ratios are going to be even better. I mean, that might be close, but it's really just the saves thing. I mean, Miller has to be the top non-closer drafted.
Okay. Are you worried at all about the usage of Andrew Miller last year?
No.
Carrying over?
No. I just, like, the relievers are the clear story so far of the draft, but we're not out of relievers.
Who's left?
AJ Ramos.
Yeah.
David Roberson.
Robertson. Okay.
Sam Dyson.
Uh-huh.
The problem,
Sean Kelly.
None of those guys feel particularly secure in their job, for one.
I don't know what's our question with Ramos?
He's the type of pitcher that managers tend to get frustrated with in high leverage roles. And the Marlins have a bunch of really good relievers.
Yeah, they do.
Beyond that, I feel like those, the only closers that are left are ones that the only reason we're drafting them is to get saves. The closers who'd gone to this point, you can count on them for ERA and whip help.
Yeah.
Not a little strikeout.
Yeah. Ramos, he'll help you with strikeouts.
And
he might help you with ERA.
And it's like, he did not have a good whip last year.
He's not going to be a low whip pitcher.
But because
his control
relative
is iffy,
to starting pitchers.
But because he's bad at one of those things, whip, or in K-Rod's case, it's strikeouts. Another pitcher, it might be ERA. Like those, if you're drafting a non-closer reliever in fantasy, it's somebody who excels in all three of those things. So it's really the only reason these guys are getting drafted is because they're going to get saves, and that's a very good reason. But that's why we're not as excited about drafting them.
All right, so Eduardo Nunez and Jose Peraza are both off the board. Chris took Peraza. We're done with round 11. Let me recap round 11. We'll see what we think. Justin Turner, Dellin Betances, which we didn't like. Francisco Rodriguez to me. Salvador Perez to Scott. Dustin Pedroia, Odubel Herrera to Heath. Eduardo Nunez, Michael Franco, Julio Teheran, Jay Happ. Like, we got it. We got really good starting pitcher value because of all the closers that were being taken. So Teheran falling to round 11, you don't see that too often. Chris, did you make your pick?
Yeah.
Chris?
I'll keep it.
All right, Aaron Sanchez. J-Hap, okay, Teheran, Happ, Peraza to Chris, Sean Manaea, Kenta Maeda, Aaron Sanchez, and Ben Zobrist. We're now into round 12. So Maeda, Aaron Sanchez, Ben Zobrist were the first three picks of round 12. Some of the best players, we still have like Felix Hernandez, Steven Matz, Stroman, I don't know, we're coming to an end of Lance McCullers, Garrett Richards, Rodon, a lot of high upside pitchers left. How many starting pitchers do you guys have through 11 rounds?
Zero. Three.
Two.
And I have three as well. The best hitters available, Carlos Santana, Matt Kemp.
What is Carlos Santana still doing available? Eric Hosmer just went.
Batting average liability.
Yeah, I think I've built up enough batting average on my squad that I can plug Carlos Santana into first base pretty happily.
Okay.
We got Jose Ramirez, who I might pick. That would be a utility spot for me. Lance McCullers was taken. All right, so we got off the board. They're coming off fast now. After Chris took Sanchez, Hosmer, Robbie Ray, McCullers, Heath took Carlos Santana. That's your utility?
That is my first baseman.
That's your first baseman. Felix Hernandez. And Scott is on the clock. And yeah, and I'm on deck, and I need a second baseman or a first baseman because I have Daniel Murphy, and I'm just going to assume that Scott takes Matt Kemp. I'm just going to look at the roster grid here. Chris needs a second baseman. I need a second baseman if I move Murphy. So I'm just going to wait on second base, take someone late. Sorry, guys. Okay, so I think Jose Ramirez will give me some steals.
He will.
And
he'll give you some steals and probably batting average.
I think he's good in this format and well worth a 12th round pick, Jose Ramirez.
Yep. Yeah, it was between he and Kemp for me. I just felt like I needed power more since I made the early picks on Marte and Gene Segura, whose power is a little questionable.
Okay. Finishing up round 12, we have two more picks left in round 12. And also, look, just a, like three outfielder league, some of the guys that are going to go even later, Benintendi's still there, Michael Brantley, Adam Eaton, Dexter Fowler, really good outfielders. Some of them have a lot of upside. Some of them are just kind of safe. But, yeah, this is, I guess if I had one regret, guys, I would say I regret drafting three outfielders with my first six picks. That's it for me. Okay, we're done with round 12. The next two picks after I took Jose Ramirez were Steven Matz and Aaron Nola. I'm disappointed Lance McCullers isn't there. He went a little... I was hoping to get him, but it's not going to happen. All right, we're into round 13. How you guys doing over there?
Doing fantastic.
There are still some very good outfielders left that are making me wish I had an outfield spot.
There goes Andrew Miller.
Exactly. You have
there goes the good outfielder.
There goes Andrew Benintendi. So Andrew Miller and Andrew Benintendi. Okay, I will have something important to say after I make my next pick, which will be a starting pitcher, which will be...
Carlos Rodon.
Take him.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. All right, let's go with Carlos Rodon as my number four starting pitcher. And he has been drafted. All right, this is what I want to say. I don't really see a reason to draft. I don't think I would draft Miller or Betances in this format. I just don't like it when it's a 5x5, you need saves, and it's not a deep league. I'm not in love with it. When there is, no, I wouldn't do it. What do you got?
You don't have to, Adam.
You don't.
But the thought process would be that it is much easier to get away with punting an entire category in a head-to-head categories league.
Yeah.
Like that, it's really hard to get away with that in Roto. I would say it's almost impossible. But in a head-to-head categories league, you're punting one, presumably to really improve in the ERA and WHIP category, which is where guys like Betances and Miller can be a huge boon.
I don't even think it necessarily has to be a punting situation. And I'm not in favor of drafting sentiment in any format, to be clear. But I think this is where it's most justifiable. For the same reason I was saying it's the most justifiable format to spend at closer. Because Andrew Miller, not every week, but there will be some weeks where he carries your pitching staff. He gets enough work in that one week that he wins ERA and WHIP for you.
Over
a full season in Roto, I mean, with all those innings piled on top of each other, the effect isn't as great.
Oh, man, I just almost cursed on the air because Addison Russell was just taken, and I forgot to take a shortstop with my last pick, so, yeah, that sucks.
This draft has really not gone well for you.
No, not so well. It's fine.
I mean, we kind of didn't mention it, but remember when you were saying I need to take Nunez or Jose Peraza here, and we were like, yeah, it's too early. They both went before your next pick.
I know.
So, and that's the earliest I've seen Peraza go. Chris took him in round 11, I think it was.
His ADP has snuck up to about round 11 now.
We'll see more and more of that, yeah.
Yeah, all right. We got a lot of closers off the board. Yasmani Grandal, then AJ Ramos, Dexter Fowler, David Robertson, Tony Watson, Addison Russell, Devin Travis to Chris Towers. Chris, did you have a second baseman?
Yes.
And you took a backup?
Devin Travis is my second baseman.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I don't love that. I hate when I end up backed into a corner and draft for need. I would really rather not do that.
So you'd rather maybe have invested earlier in second base and not in outfield?
Or just waited.
Well, I would have probably taken Travis fairly soon. All right, so look, I'm learning a lesson. Like there, yeah, look, second base, I say it a lot, don't reach, but you don't necessarily want to be, like every draft I'm the last guy to take a second baseman, and it might be a bad idea. So, you know, I might have to start foregoing outfield. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me is, I'm going to say it over and over again, I guess. In a three outfielder league, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to take three outfielders with my first six picks. I probably won't even take three with my first eight picks. I really kind of screwed myself at some of the more scarce positions.
Yeah, I don't think this is the format to, and I know I keep saying this is the format, but it's just a unique format. And like, I feel like there's so few hitters to balance those five categories, so few hitter spots to do that relative to like Roto. You have to make every hitter pick count. And that's why I went hitter heavy in the early rounds. I don't think I drafted my ace till round six or whatever it was. Because like the Devin Travises of the world, and not even just him, but in points leagues, in head-to-head points leagues where you're dealing with a similar small roster size, there's a lot of hitters who can compete with the individual category standouts on peripherals. But since those peripherals don't matter in this format, it really shrinks the usable hitter pool, like to a point that you don't want to be filling in more than a roster, a lineup spot or two with hitters in the teen rounds like this.
Heath with the guttural reaction there as Sean Kelly was drafted. Let's recap some of the picks. After Chris Towers took Devin Travis in round 13, Adam Eaton was the last pick of round 13. Jeff Samardzija, Marcus Stroman to Chris, Sam Dyson, Jay Bruce, Jock Peterson, Sean Kelly. Chris, I know you're the high guy on Jock Peterson. You've liked him. Would you take him in round 14?
It's a little early, but, you know, I was doing this comparison the other day. Kyle Schwarber went around 70, right? 70 overall. I'm not 100% sure Kyle Schwarber's better than Jock Peterson. And I'm not 100% sure why the consensus is that he's so much better.
Okay.
Like, similar prospect pedigree, similar type of player.
I don't think we ever, nobody ever got over how bad that second half was. They haven't gotten past
it. Yeah, like we're talking about a guy who had a mid-800s OPS and hit 25 homers.
But do you remember how bad he was in that second half?
Yeah.
Who are you comparing him to, Peterson versus
Schwarber?
Schwarber. Like, I would say Schwarber's better. I don't know if he's 80 spots in a draft better.
Well, now that Peterson is probably going to play more than Schwarber. At least at the start. I think he's been so bad against lefties that I don't know that David Roberts is going to stick to that.
Yeah, so, I would not. I would still give Schwarber the advantage if you're asking me who's going to have more plays.
Well, didn't Joe Maddon the other day said he's aiming for 140 games without Schwarber? I would say that's probably 140 games is a ceiling for him.
Right. Agreed.
Batting leadoff, I'm sure you guys talked about this already, but batting leadoff will definitely help in the plate appearances category, but it's not that I think Peterson's better than Schwarber. I think that would be kind of a dumb thing for me to say. I'm just not 100% sure Schwarber's so much better that it justifies the draft cost there.
All right, let's recap some of the picks after Jock Peterson. Sean Kelly, Heath took Kendrys Morales, once a Royal, always a Royal. Carlos Gomez, Scott took Jim Johnson. How many closers do you have, Scott?
Two.
I took Dansby Swanson. Adam Ottavino was next, then JT Realmuto and Julio Urias with the last pick of round 14 and the first pick of round 15. I think this will be the last round that we do on the air, although I might as well do 16 since we have 16 starting spots. Yanhervis Solarte with the second pick. Is this a good format for Solarte? I feel like he's much better in a points league.
He is, but this is a fine place to take him even in this format. He showed a little bit more pop last year. If he plays a full season, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets more than 20 homers.
Okay, I just took Logan Forsythe at second base. I like Forsyth.
Mm. Do you?
I like Jan Hervis a lot more than Forsyth.
Oh, okay. Scott is on the clock. So Scott and I are both, I'm guessing, going to be 5 starters, 2 relievers. That's what I was planning on doing. Scott can make his pick.
Yeah, sorry, I'm panicking and making my pick. Okay, Michael Brantley in round 15. I like the value there. 5 and 2. Yeah, I think I'll go 5 and 2 unless, I mean, there's not many closers left. There's like the Neftali Feliz class of closers left. So it's guys who you halfway expect to lose their job anyway. I'll keep an eye on out for saves on the waiver wire early in the year if we were playing it out. But I don't know that I want to invest a pick at this point on a closer unless somebody just happens to last till the last round or whatever.
Yeah, so Brantley goes there in a 3-outfielder league. Once you've, you know, not only have I filled outfield, I also filled utility with Jose Ramirez. Like, I'm gonna forget sort of about a guy like Michael Brantley who I really want, especially in round 15. But he would have been a bench guy for me, but I probably should have considered that anyway. You know, like, why not take a bench guy with that much upside?
I think that's the key, is that when you're talking about this part in the draft, upside is what really matters. I say that right as Heath took Fernando Rodney.
Well, the downside there. You should take Carter Capps. Kevin Kiermaier goes, then Fernando Rodney, then Blake Snell. And
there's a lot of pitchers in that Blake Snell range still available who are well worth drafting right now.
So right now we're in round 15, and 1, 2, 3, 4 teams don't have a catcher. Everybody seems set at all the other infield spots. Looks like everybody's got at least 3 outfielders and 1, 2, 3 utility spots. So almost all the starting hitters. I imagine we're going to see a lot of pitchers come off the board late, and there are still a lot of good ones left. Neftali Feliz went after Blake Snell, Brad Miller. Some of the best pitchers, if we just look at the consensus average rankings here. Marco Estrada, Sonny Gray, Junior Guerra, Iwakuma, Mike Montgomery, Matt Moore, Tyone, Dylan Bundy, Garrett Richards, Pomerantz, Adam Wainwright, Vince Velasquez. You will like some of these and you will not like some of these guys. Kevin Gausman, Stephen Wright, way down. You have to go to like the next page to get to Eduardo Rodriguez. Am I the only one that seems to be that's drafting a lot of Eduardo Rodriguez?
Yeah, in mixed leagues. I mean, if he wins a job, that'll change for me. I like the way he ended last season, but he has to beat out one of 2 all-stars last year, Drew Pomeranz and Stephen Wright. I think they were both all-stars. The odds against that.
All right. So maybe nobody should be drafting a lot of Eduardo Rodriguez. I see a lot of potential there, but there are some high upside guys, and Chris just took one in Vince Velasquez. Now Raisel Iglesias comes off the board. Oh, by the way, Hector Neris, Phillies closer right now?
I don't believe so.
There's no Phillies closer right now.
Jeanmar Gomez has.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Jeanmar Gomez is kind of the front runner right now.
He has the dreaded vote of confidence.
Okay. This will be our last round, round 16. So while we're at round 16, let's recap our teams. And I had the 3rd pick, so I'll go first. I have Wilson Contreras, Daniel Murphy, Logan Forsyth, Todd Frazier, and Dansby Swanson. That is one crappy infield for a 12-team league. I have a good outfield. Mookie Betts, Nelson Cruz, and Jose Bautista. And I have Jose Ramirez at utility. So I should have plenty of power and maybe good batting average. Just steals are going to be a struggle for me. I have Chris Sale, Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, Carlos Rodon. Those are my 4 starters right now with Cody Allen. And that should have been Senwan Oh, not Cody Allen. I'd feel much better if it were Senwan Oh and Francisco Rodriguez. So I think pitching is a strength for me. I just think steals is not. But that's okay. I mean, I don't have to win steals. I could be good at the other categories. And Scott, you had the 4th pick, so would you like to go?
Yeah, so my team is Salvador Perez, Edwin Encarnacion, Robinson Cano, Nolan Arenado, Gene Segura.
Your infield is better than Adams.
Yeah.
And my outfield is Starling Marte, David Dahl, and Matt Kemp. Right now I have Michael Brantley in the utility spot. If well, it's not going to be Pujols because Pujols just went. And then my pitching staff, if you can read that, Adam, so I can make my pick.
Sure. Scott's pitching staff is really neat. It's Dallas, it's Cole Hamels, Rick Porcello, Dallas Keuchel, John Lackey, Jim Johnson, and Alex Colome. Hamels, Keuchel, Porcello, Lackey, Jim Johnson, Alex Colome. And he's on the clock with 8 seconds to go. Scott
that
White.
That is a very, very Scott White pitching staff.
Marco Estrada, and I took Sonny Gray. Yeah, like, Scott, do you regret not having a top 10 pitcher on your pitching staff?
No, not quote-unquote in this format.
Why? Why does it change in this format?
Because a lot of what you're paying for is those two ratio stats in a top pitcher, and I think they're highly variable from week to week, so even if a guy ends up with a great ERA and WHIP overall, it may be concentrated to two starts in the same week over and over again. And while another pitcher has a bad start,
I don't know that I
like,
really
it'll just be super frustrating.
I don't know that I really agree with that philosophy. And I get it. I don't understand what you're saying. It makes sense. But at the end of the day, aren't you just picking the best players? Like I don't want to play too much to the format here.
Well, that's the mistake I made last year.
No, it's not the mistake. The mistake you made last year was that your top two picks were total busts. You had Joey Votto and Andrew McCutchen, and Votto wasn't good until you were out of it.
Nope. I lost a lot more categories than the one those two would help me in.
Ah. I don't know. Don't make it too much about last year. Like,
no, The reason I disagree
with Scott is that I think what you're paying for with those aces is that they aren't quite as variable in those categories week to week as the top 40, top 50 pitchers are. So now how much that matters, I don't know. But for the guy that stacked four of them, I would imagine that's going to work out very well.
I wish Strasburg weren't one of them. I think he went a little early on Strasburg. But he had Kershaw, Scherzer, was it? Kershaw, Scherzer, Strasburg, and I don't remember. Who was it? Matthew Morin. Kershaw, Scherzer, Strasburg, and Lester.
What?
Yep.
Sorry, I'm freaking out.
He also got Aroldis Chapman and Craig Kimbrell, so he's gonna be a handful in the pitching categories, that's for sure.
Well, let's look at his hitters. Are the hitters good enough? Yasmani Grandal, Chris Davis, Dustin Pedroia, Alex Bregman, Troy Tulowitzki, Miguel Sano, Carlos Gomez, and Kevin Kiermaier.
The outfield's rough. That's where it gets, really rough. He just took my next pick. but yeah, he's going to have to win 4 out of 5, pitching categories pretty much every week.
Okay. I would just like to say that, well, it's okay. I don't have to say it. I don't have to say it. Heath, why don't you go ahead and give your team after 16 rounds?
You'll have plenty to say about this. I've got Jonathan LaCroix, Carlos Santana, Brian Dozier, Chris Bryant, Carlos Correa. So I like my infield quite a bit. Outfield is Ian Desmond, Carlos Gonzalez, and Lorenzo Cain with Odubel Herrera as my utility. Also, I have Kendrys Morales on the bench. So it just depends, I think, on what you need that week as far as who you play at the utility. And then my pitching staff is it's robust. Kenley Jansen, Kelvin Herrera, Edwin Diaz, Carter Capps, AJ Ramos, Brandon Kinsler, Fernando Rodney.
Okay. How many starting pitchers?
Zero.
And Chris Towers, you had the 11th pick.
Yes, I did, and I took Joey Votto with that first pick. My team is Evan Gattis, Joey Votto, Devin Travis, Adrian Beltre, Jose Peraza in the infield.
You did not take Joey Votto. You already lied. You took Bryce Harper with your first pick.
Oh, yeah, I did.
All right, please,
I am trusted.
Please read your team again, Chris.
Evan Gattis, Joey Votto, Devin Travis, Adrian Beltre, and Jose Peraza fill out the infield with Giancarlo Stanton, Bryce Harper, Billy Hamilton in the outfield, Freddie Freeman as the best utility in baseball, and my pitching staff is Danny Duffy, Zach Britton, Aaron Sanchez, Joe Ross, Marcus Stroman, Ken Giles, and Vincent Velasquez through 16 rounds. And I'm going to target high upside pitchers from this point on.
Okay, it's been a bit of a strange draft because you have teams taking completely different approaches. All four of us, I think, took different strategies. We'll see how it worked out. I hope this was... Yeah, go ahead.
I will plug something for CBS real quick that you can use during these types of drafts as well. And it's not foolproof, but if you go into your league and go to the stats page and open up the team totals on the stats page, it will tell you how you're doing in each category compared to the rest of the league.
Really?
And I've been kind of watching that because I think with the closer approach, you have to be better on offense.
Can you say this again? Say this again. What do I do?
Go to the players stats page within your league, and then change. And there's four little boxes in the middle top there. They say free agents, all players, scout team. Change the bottom right one to team totals.
Team totals.
And then that will show what every team's projected totals are in every category.
Okay, this is really cool. I'm not last in steals. All right. I'm third to last. Oh, man. I wish it would tell you, like, projected finish, because it looks like I'm going to be horrible at everything.
Well, that doesn't work in a head-to-head categories league. In a roto league, you can count up how many points you're projected to earn based on the projections.
Yeah. And we're also to the point in this draft where people are filling bench spots, so that... Like, the one downside to it is it doesn't distinguish between starters versus bench players. It's just everybody on your roster. So if somebody has a hitter-heavy roster compared to you, it's obviously going to... They're going to be higher, and you're going to be lower by comparison.
Right.
Just something to keep in mind.
All right, that's it for this podcast. Hope it was helpful. Hope it was beneficial for you. We enjoyed it. I think I'm done talking now. Goodbye.